are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci with another point to put his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. We've got a ton of stuff to get to on the program today. We've got college football going on as we speak, the Miami Hurricanes, and that stupid turnover chain, man. God, do I ever hate that chain. And I'm not a Miami Hurricane hater or anything like that, but I hate the chain. Like, is this what we've come to in society right now? That, you know, a kid made a play, you know, and I don't know. You did your job! You know, I don't know. I'm just thinking that maybe the fact that we already gave you a $180,000 scholarship would sort of be that is the sort of payment for you to actually make the play. You know, oh, here's a chain, kid. Yeah, here's a chain. You know, stop celebrating mediocrity. You know, the Miami Hurricanes, they had a turnover. Guys walking around with the chain. Look at the chain, man, the chain. Look at the scoreboard, bro. You're losing the game, man. The scoreboard doesn't matter anymore. Who cares about the scoreboard? I look cool. I know I look cool, but I'm talking about, you know, they think they look cool. We know we look cool. We're aware of that. All right. Steve Merrill's going to join us. Steve Merrill, we're going to run the gauntlet with Steve. We're talking a bunch of college football with Steve. Joe Lisi, we're going to talk a bunch of more college football with Joe Lisi. We are on the Fantasy Sports Network, so Dalton Deldon, Yahoo Fantasy Sports. I'm a big Dalton Deldon fan. We'll talk some DFS with Dalton. We'll talk betting with Dalton. We'll just talk football and have some fun with Dalton Deldon. A lot of stuff to get to. So as I alluded to, Miami's playing Pittsburgh right now. Are Miami in a must-win situation? I don't know. You know, I don't know. If let's say Miami lost, they're still going to the championship game. And if they beat Clemson, would they get in as the ACC conference champs? You know, maybe, probably. Things are going to get interesting right now, all right? One thing we do know, the college football is a hell of a lot more interesting than the National Football League is, although the NFC at the top is pretty good. But so let's get right down to business right now. Yesterday, Thanksgiving and all that other crap. So we had three National Football League games on the board. One of them was good. Not great. One of them was good. The Detroit Lions in the Minnesota Vikings game was okay. You know what? How about that anthem yesterday? Hard for anybody to protest, man, when the dude's belting it out like that. Great job on the saxophone yesterday. Detroit, man, you know, they always have great anthems on Thanksgiving in Motown. Great music town, of course. You know, the officiating, we talked about it yesterday. Tony Corrente's an idiot. But, hey, you know, every National Football League referee is pretty much an idiot. The Chargers beat the Cowboys yesterday. And it was pretty much pure torture. You know, the game was so freaking boring that at one point during a commercial break, I was flicking around, and on CNN, Anthony Bourdain was on. You know, CNN doesn't believe, I don't know, I guess CNN thinks the rest of the world stops and there's no news because a bunch of people are killing turkeys in one country. So, you know, no news, so let's just show Anthony Bourdain all day long. And Anthony Bourdain was talking to some punk rock chick in Nashville. It was like 100 times more entertaining than the NFL game was. I was actually disappointed. I was like, I better go back. Better go back. You know, I've got, you know, it's Phillip Rivers is a good guy. He, you know, he's not like O.J. Simpson. He didn't kill two people or anything like that. So I'm not going to hate on Phillip Rivers, but it just bothers me. He bothers me. You know, seeing him after, looking at the crowd. Dude, you're 5-6, bro. Act like you've been there before. And then you got some punk-ass clown. Who was it? Was it McClain? I don't even know. I don't care what your guys' names are anymore. You're all just clowns. So whatever your name is, you're talking smack about Dak Prescott. You play on a 5-6 team. You have 13 fans. All right? 12, not including Feinberg. He counts for like half of them. You know, the Chargers. Ah, oh, you know, they're... Did I miss something? You guys win a Super Bowl yesterday? You know, the level of mediocrity, man, pathetic. Which leads me into pathetic. You want to talk about pathetic? How about Eli? Just retire, Eli, okay? Just retire. Go on a cruise or something like that. I could see him playing like shuffleboard, like on a cruise, and then like screwing up and looking up all stupid at his wife. What happened? God, you're like, you just... That game was so bad last night. And Chris Collinsworth, great defensive battle tonight, Al. Great defensive battle. No. It wasn't a great defensive battle. It was total crap. That game was so bad last night. You could take the film. Just take the film. Make a highlight reel of the game. Like 60 minutes of all the action last night. Send it to Gitmo. All right? And I guarantee you, man, these guys in Al-Qaeda will tell you anything. Forget about, like, all your other waterboarding and your forms of torture. Just, like, get a big screen like this. Make their eyes, like, wide open. Kick back in a chair like Clockwork Orange. And you have, like, the circus music. And just watch Eli Manning throw a football. Just, you know, you know, man, this guy will tell you where Bin Laden's cousins live, all right? Thank God for college football, because I love the sport of football. But what I'm watching in the NFL, that's not football. You guys aren't playing football. I don't know what the hell you're doing. You guys are like, first down. You're scoring touchdowns. You're lying. You know, you're celebrating. You know, yeah. Celebrating for doing your freaking job. But I guess that's the society we live in right now. Mediocrity gets promoted. Hey, why not? Andy Byford ran the TTC transit system into the freaking ground. So you know what he does? They hire him in New York. Yeah, why not? He falls ass backwards, upwards. Upwards. Well, speaking of upwards, I like to stick something upwards. The National Football League. It's rivalry week. It's Grey Cup week. You want real football? You watch the 105th edition of the Grey Cup this Sunday. You want a real halftime show and not that candy-ass punk Justin Timberlake? You watch a class act like Shania Twain and an entertaining football game, or like the crap that they serve in the National Football League. Happy Thanksgiving? I think not. Game time decision continues.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
All right, we got a stacked show this afternoon. Joe Lisi is going to join us. Dalton Deldon's joining us. We got Steve Merrill batting leadoff. Without further ado, let's bring in Steve Merrill right now because I want to get to as many games as possible with Steve. Steve Merrill, prosportsinfo.com. You can also find him over at coversexperts.com. What up, Steve?
Happy Black Friday, Gabe. Yeah. You guys do Black Friday up there?
Yeah. People are fighting in malls as we speak right now.
So you don't have a Black Tuesday or Friday after your Canadian Thanksgiving, like in October? I was always curious about that.
Yeah, we do. We do.
Oh, double. You do? So you get double then.
Yeah. We're green. and you, what about, do you guys do Boxing Day?
No, you know, that's funny because, I'd always seen that on calendars, like when I was a kid, you know, the little written things on calendar. And I never understood what Boxing Day was.
Well, you thought it was like a sport, right? Muhammad Ali was boxing.
Well, I still to this day, when I hear it, I think of physically boxing and like punching. And, we definitely don't do that because I didn't know what it was. I've actually got a Canadian friend that had mentioned it, and maybe it's like an English thing, too. I'm not sure. But
it is. It's like, yeah.
I still, 2 years ago, I thought it meant boxing as in punching.
In England, in Canada, Australia, exactly, like the Commonwealth country, so to speak, pretty much everyone. I'm just amazed America, I mean, come on, like America needs a reason to try to sell junk, right?
So what is boxing? Oh, so boxing means sales. I thought it meant maybe
turning
your stuff, putting your stuff away. I didn't know. I still don't know what it means.
Yeah, no, it's exactly that. Everything's like 50% off.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
we do that here. We just don't call it Boxing Day, but they definitely have that stuff here.
People that are smart, like, you know, you go buy your wrapping paper for the next year for like,
sure,
you know, 20% and stuff like that. Or, you know what, if your kids can, you know, deal with it, you tell them, listen, I'll get you the gift on the 26th, and you get a better gift. Because the only thing is, though, I'd rather spend the money. I'm not one of these losers that's going to wait in line for 6 hours to save 17 bucks. You know, I'd rather just spend the money.
Here's the thing, though, Gabe. I think that's probably changing if it hasn't already, because so many gift cards are given out now that stores probably aren't doing it as much, because a lot of the sales are coming in afterwards by default. Because when we were growing up, there wasn't such a thing as a gift card, as you know. And even 10, 15 years ago, there weren't many. They used to, remember, have expirations, like 1 year they'd expire. Gift cards are a great deal for these retailers. I think like 25% of all gift cards are never used. I saw that stat one time.
Yeah, I know. They make a lot of money off
it. It's like being handed money that you never have to give back.
Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's like the prepaid credit cards.
It's a good business.
The prepaid credit cards, they make hundreds of millions, man, off of the little 57 cents left over and stuff.
Sure.
So, you know, you get a prepaid card. I do it all the time for gambling purposes. Maybe I buy something, you know, I order a meal, and, you know, 79 cents left. What am I going to do with 79 cents on a prepaid credit card?
And, well, I never thought about that. That's a great point.
That's,
yeah,
79
that definitely adds
cents.
Up.
Yeah, you know. I've done it out of spite. I once did it. I told the girl in the grocery store, I said, don't think I'm crazy, but just out of spite, I don't want to give Visa 48 cents. So I said, can you charge 48 cents to the card? She started laughing. And she goes, oh, people do it all the time here. She goes,
yeah,
some
would,
guys come in.
I would much rather give it to like a local retailer, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, exactly. I get a couple of bananas instead of giving Visa another 50 cents. You know another one, Steve, in Vegas? They make a killing off of unclaimed tickets in the slot machines. And
yeah.
Same thing where, and I've done it too, where I've been drunk and pissed off, and I put like, you know, 100 bucks in a slot, and at the end, it spits out $1.18. And I'm like, I'm not taking $1.18 and going to the window with this. What are you going to do? You really, Steve? Are you going to take a voucher and go wait in line at the cage for your $1.18?
I mean, I'll never forget. The best example of that is at McCarran Airport years ago. I was waiting for a flight at the terminal.
I never played that.
And they've got those slots there, right? You know, like in the terminal. And I hate slots. You know that. I never play them. I don't even enjoy them, to be honest. But I was bored, had nothing else, and they had like
That's
a nickel slot.
That's why they
slot.
Put them there. They know that.
Right. Well, I was like, you know, so I'll play a nickel slot. And I think I got up like $10 or $20 in nickels, and I'm thinking, I'm not going to, you got to go back like through security to like cash it out or whatever, or change it, or, you know, you got to, and I'm not going to carry it on the plane with me. So I literally wanted to lose the money back. I'll never forget that. It wasn't a lot, but it hit me then that nobody probably ever wins on those slot machines, even if you
Dude,
do win.
I lived in Vegas. I've never seen one person win, Steve, all right? And
oh,
in
yeah.
fact, half the time, there's not even a lady there. So once I'm thinking that too. I'm like, all right, my plane leaves in 30 minutes. What if I hit a jackpot and no one comes?
Right.
Like, what am I supposed to just stand here and wait? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you win $130 and you got to wait and you lose
oh,
your plane.
Oh, yeah, you'd be like,
ticket.
Oh, I'm not going to miss my plane for 80 bucks. I'm going to get on the right. plane. Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, they rake it up, man. Another little tidbit about that too, that if you find, let's say you sit down at a slot machine and there's a ticket, a voucher there, and it says $4 or something, if you keep it, you just stole.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. I wouldn't have thought of that. You're
it's
right.
It's their property, which is insane. That so if some old lady leaves her money in the slot, it's not fair game. It's the casino's money suddenly, right?
Well, okay. Well, so now if there's a $10 bill laying on the floor in the casino, you're stealing also, I guess, because that's the casino's property?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess technically it is.
I found a $420 winning ticket. It was March Madness, and I don't look for tickets. It was by chance. I sat down, and there was a stack of tickets in front of me, like a stack steep. And I said, oh, let's just see what this poor bastard lost with, right, just out of entertainment sake. So I look, and I noticed $500 ticket. I was like, ooh, this guy's playing real. So I look, loser, and I'm looking. I'm like, this didn't lose. I'm like, this game didn't lose. So I didn't want to take the guy's tickets because sometimes people leave stuff. So I waited like 20 minutes. I sat there. No one came back. I went up to the window and I cashed the ticket. Technically, I broke the law because technically I'm supposed to hand it in. But yeah, as if, right, Steve? I'm going to hand in $420 to a casino group.
Well, and think about this, too. We talk about chips, and the whole reason they use casino chips, of course, is to desensitize you from the real money.
Yes,
because,
yes.
And that's another perfect example. When you sit down to the blackjack table, the house has, say, like a 1% edge. So that means when you buy in for $100, you should walk away with like $98 or $99, right? But
yeah.
Most people walk away
yeah,
with zero because when you get down to $10 or $20, you got two chips left. Are you
going to
walk
oh,
over
cares?
And cash it in for the $20 bill, or are you going to just bet it? Whereas if you're playing cash, you might keep that $20 bill and go buy dinner still.
Yeah,
so there's no question
that.
It works.
Exactly. Why don't you put cash? Chips, because chips, they're not money. You'll be more reckless with a stupid little toy piece of plastic than you will money.
Exactly right.
Even though
You could write. I mean, there are books written on this, but you and I definitely should write another one because we got some good stories we could put in there as well.
Living there, it fascinated me, right? There are tricks and stuff. And my deal was keep your head down and just ignore everything and you'll be all right. All right, let's blast through some games. Let's go rapid fire here, Steve. So we got like six, seven, eight games, a couple of 8 minutes here. USF and UCF. A lot of talk about South Florida running the table this year. They stumbled once along the way. Still a great year for them. But they're not covering because they've been huge number point spread favorites all the time. Central Florida really surprised me that they were this good this year, being 10-0 right now. I mean, they average 48 points a game. They give up 20 points a game. South Florida averaged 37 points a game, gave up 19 points a game. What do you make of this one with two great quarterbacks in Mackenzie Milton and Quinton Flowers?
I got a friend who's a Central Florida grad who I see all the time, and he's excited about this season, obviously. I didn't know until he told me the other week that Central Florida is the second largest school in the country as far as students.
Yeah, it's crazy, I know.
And guess who the biggest? I never would. I think it was Arizona, he said. I think it was Arizona was first.
Yeah, I think Arizona's got like 64,000 students or something stupid like that.
I mean, I would have guessed like Michigan was ahead of both of them. I didn't realize they were both that big. But it's funny because I guess it was a commuter school for a while because they've never had a great crowd atmosphere, you know, in Orlando for their home games.
No. Dude, if you get it, Johnny Sixpack has no idea where Central Florida is. They don't even know it's in Orlando.
Exactly. Because, I mean, there again, you've got a little bit of a distraction with Disney World, I guess. But, yeah, this game's a home game, but, you know, it's not a huge home field advantage. But this is a great offensive team. They've put up 45 points or more in three of their last four games. And, hey, look, unless you have a bet on this game, which I don't, or have a pick, you know, you got to root for Central Florida because you got to look for them to go undefeated and just cause more turmoil when they're not in the Final Four.
UCF, Warman's quick with this stuff. Good job, Warman. UCF, the largest school in America. How many students, Warman?
Oh, it's number one now.
55. Wow. Is Arizona? How many at Arizona? Like 48 or something? Arizona State, 43,000.
So it was Arizona State. I thought maybe it was Arizona, but it could have been
Texas
State. It was
A&M,
one of those two.
49,000 of them. Wow. Yeah, you know what? I don't know. I'm not sentimental. I don't care. I don't like the city of Orlando either. Nothing personal if you live in Orlando, but your city sucks.
I just like controversy. I like controversy with the playoff system, so I'm rooting for Central Florida to win big.
God, I really don't like Orlando. Give me South Florida, man. Tampa! I do a weekly hit on ESPN Tampa, Steve.
Ebor Street. I drove from Tampa to Daytona when I went to that race we talked about the other day, the one time I went to Daytona.
If I was to move to Florida, that's where I'd live, the Tampa area.
Yeah, we went right through Orlando on the way to Daytona, actually. Route 4, Interstate 4, and it's like one lane each way, and it's backed up for like 2 hours. It's the worst concept of mankind in the history of interstates.
You know, in Tampa, they have more strip clubs than churches.
Tampa's nice. It's on the west coast there on the bay. It's not bad.
Yeah, it's for pirates, too. You could be a little edgier there, right?
They almost got wiped out here earlier this year at the hurricane. That would have been the time for you to pick up some good real estate.
Swoop in. All right. A little people with that. It's like I saw some couple, like they're living right on the beach, like literally. They're like, our dream house has been way out of ruin. It's like, well.
They were living on the beach.
You live on the beach in the eye of a hurricane in Florida. Like, really, like shocking, right? Okay, let's get down to business. So, Iowa, Nebraska. Iowa always own these guys, but I think it's Mike Riley's last game. Do they play hard for him and cover? I think they do.
Oh, I think they definitely do. Yeah, I think that's probably a situation that's legitimate here in this game. And Nebraska's off of three losses in a row. They've lost five of the last six. Definitely not the type of team you want to back right now. Defensively, a huge, huge edge for Iowa in this game. Giving up about 20 points a game. Nebraska gives up like 35 a game and almost 6.5 yards per play.
Western Kentucky and FIU, both teams already punched tickets to the bowl games. But you know what? I think Western Kentucky, this is a flat spot for them. They didn't look great last week against Middle Tennessee State. I watched that game. They did enough to win it. They willed themselves to victory. They beat their rival, and they get into a bowl game. Now you get FIU playing on their home field. They've lost two in a row. Butch Davis, everyone's talking about Lane Kiffin and FAU. But FIU's had a nice season too, man. Butch Davis did a nice job here. Last home game of the year. I think FIU's to play here. And the point spread keeps going up. Give me the Panthers on their home field.
Yeah, we talked about it last week. Western Kentucky is not nearly as good as they've been in years past. That was a huge win for them because they became bowl eligible. I think this could be a little bit of a flat spot. It's hard to imagine they're quite as excited about this week's game.
Yeah, they're a bad team on the road, too. They're 1-4.
And they're a weak offensive team. I mean, you could definitely make a case they're a false favorite.
Yeah, they're 1-4 against the spread on the road, guys. They're showing us nothing. And the FIU Panthers are 4-1 straight up on their home field this year. And, you know, they're underdogs. So we just got to win a football game. Right, this one in your backyard here, Steve. I like this one. I was all over the Cavaliers last week, and I'm taking a look at them again. Virginia Tech and Virginia. What's the hype like around this game in the state of Virginia right now?
Yeah, be careful, though, because now all of a sudden some people locally this week have been saying, hey, I wouldn't be surprised if Virginia beats Tech. You know, and a month ago they never would have been saying that. So, you know, that always raises the red flag for me, Gabe.
Virginia Tech have won 17 of the last 18 games.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like they're a bad team this year. Keep in mind, here's what happened. Virginia Tech really didn't have national title hopes, but they had ACC title hopes, and they got beat up by Miami. They were in a terrible scheduling spot against Georgia Tech, having to face the option after that big loss. Had a best bet on Georgia Tech, actually. And then last week, you know, maybe they bounced back, but I stayed off the game. They won by 6. They didn't cover. Kind of lackluster against Pittsburgh, who actually was beating Miami at halftime today outright in the early game. So it's not like Virginia Tech's had easy games the last 3 weeks. So I think they're still a pretty solid team. And I also think this line's probably cheaper than it would have been. It would have maybe been like 10 or more a couple weeks ago. Now it's 6.5.
Steve, not buying the Cavalier hype. Right? We got about a minute and a half or two here. Texas Tech and Texas, for the most part, you notice the theme. I like the underdogs, Steve, but this is one where I'm not so sure. Even though Texas Tech do need this game to get into a bowl game, I'm not sure it matters. I know Tom Herman would like to play the final home game and, you know, rack up the score and get a nice win for the boosters.
Yeah, I mean, the underdogs make sense, Gabe, because historically these rival dogs cash more times than not. So I think you're on the right path there. The over might be the way to play this one. You know, they both have played some low-scoring games the past couple weeks. Texas has gone under in 5 of their last 6. Texas Tech, 4 of their last 5 have gone under. The line's now shorter than it should have been because of that. Last year, 82 points. The year before, 93 points in this series.
Yeah, you know what? I agree. I think it is a little bit short. And finally, in closing, we got Cal and UCLA. Winner gets a bowl bid, but I'm not sure UCLA wanted as bad as Cal do. So you got UCLA just fired their coach in Jim Mora. And conversely, you got a first-year coach with Justin Wilcox at Cal, who's done a great job. They're happy with them. You know, Cal are 5-6. They deserve better, man. These kids have played hard. They played a tough schedule. They didn't tap out in football games. I'd like to see them get a bowl bid, if possible, here against the UCLA team. I don't know, Steve. When you see college teams lose their coach and interim coaches step in, usually it doesn't end well. I like the underdog here with Cal.
Yeah, and they're usually not a touchdown favorite when that happens either, you know? Especially with a 5-6 record and giving up almost 38 points per game and almost 500 yards per game. That's what UCLA is allowing. I think we have another case where you could say they're a false favorite.
Yeah, and Cal are 7-4 against the spread. UCLA are 4-7 against the spread. Cal are 6-3 last 9 in the series. It's cliche, but this is the definition of these are two programs going in different directions right now. Cal's trending up. UCLA is going down. Take the Cal Golden Bears into points tonight. Check out Steve's website, prosportsinfo.com, and go over to covers.com on the experts page. You'll find Steve's picks over the weekend. Rivalry weekend. We'll have more college football talk coming up with Joe Lisi. Thanks for the time, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
We're going to hit the big games with Joe Lisi, but we've got some NFL DFS talk coming up next.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. I've got a lot of football going on right now as we speak. Toledo up 34-10 on Western Michigan. They're going to advance with a win to the MAC championship game. TCU, we're laying 24 points to Baylor. Baylor were actually up 9-0. It's now 28-22 for Texas Christian. I actually laid 10 points in the second half with TCU. So they're up by 4 right now. Give me another touchdown and I can grab that. Houston are up 21-14 on Navy. That game doesn't mean anything. But we do have upset alert here in a big football game. The Miami Hurricanes are in a little bit of trouble right now. 16-7 for the Pittsburgh Panthers. 16-7 for the Pittsburgh Panthers. Northern Illinois up 17-10 on Central Michigan. I'm on the Buffalo Bulls. I told anyone who would listen to take the Buffalo Bulls plus the points. They were plus 7. They're winning 24-10 at the half. We're going to have some picks for you on the South Florida UCF game, Iowa, Nebraska, Western Kentucky, FIU, Vautech, Virginia, Texas Tech, Texas, and Cal UCLA at the end of the program. Let's bring in Dalton Deldon right now, and let's talk some football. Let's talk some fantasy football. Let's talk some NFL football. We don't really have a choice, guys. I'm trying to talk as much college as I can today. Dalton, it's been a horrible year in the NFL, and this card, this is as bad as it gets, man. Like, looking at the card, the Saints and the Rams, like, that's the only half-interesting game. Maybe the Bills and the Chiefs. What do you think of the card, Dalton?
Yeah, before we get to the NFL, you're more of a college guy than I am, but so I want your advice. I'm going to the Notre Dame-Stanford game tomorrow night.
Nice.
Of course, I got to gamble on it because I'll be there. So I'll do what you take. I think it's a 2-point spread. So who should I go with?
Stanford, man. Stanford. I love Stanford. I'm not just saying this because you're going to the game. Bryce Love, I'm going to come out and say it. If Bryce Love was white, people would say, oh, my God, what a great job he's doing. Last year, Christian McCaffrey got first downs, and they cut in. Christian McCaffrey just picked up a first down. Bryce Love's putting up Barry Sanders type of numbers. The kid's freaking awesome. He's a little small for the NFL. He's going to be in the NFL. But so I think Stanford wins this game. They're peaking at the right time. They've won 7 of their last 8 football games. Notre Dame's starting to run out of steam right now, Dalton. It's one of my bigger bets of the weekend. I love the Stanford Cardinal tomorrow night. You're going to have a great time. Should be a great atmosphere there.
Yeah, I'm sitting in the Stanford student section. That's what got me the tickets. It'll make it easier for me rooting for them. So I'll do that. Yeah, Love's out of control. Hopefully that ankle is right because he's just had so many big runs. From what little I have followed, I know that guy's his yards per carry is like video game numbers.
So unfortunately, I followed the NFL yesterday. Like, it just gets worse and worse, man. It gets worse and worse. The games are longer. The jokes are, you know, the jokes get worse. The product is just so freaking bad. And in the Super Contest yesterday, I went 1-2. I took all 3 games. Had the Vikings, the Cowboys, and the Giants. And what a bad beat with the Giants. But the only reason I took those games is because I couldn't find 5 games that I liked on Sunday. And me and Dalton are in the Westgate Super Contest in Vegas. What an ugly card this week, Dalton, man. Who did you come up with this week?
Yeah, it is ugly. And, man, yesterday I was dealing with two sick kids throwing up all day. So it was wasn't the funnest holiday for me. Although I did have Crowder and a few DFS lineups. So that made up for it a little bit. But very ugly slate. I'm with you. It's been not the greatest year. We're 2 games under 500 in the Super Contest. Going to take an amazing run to finish. And this week, I'm with you. None jumped out at me. We went ugly on the Bills. I think we're going with one of our picks. Kansas City, I know Buffalo's defense has been getting totally annihilated lately, but Kansas City certainly hasn't looked great themselves. They shouldn't be giving 9.5, 10 points to anyone. And I do think Buffalo is a competent team still as long as Tyrod Taylor is starting, which he is. But that's bad if that's the one game that jumps out to me, taking, you know, Buffalo 10 points. But I keep waiting for Kareem Hunt to have that bounce back game. Chiefs are just weirdly not getting inside the 5-yard line. But that's the one game I kind of like. It shows you how weak this slate is. But Buffalo plus 9.5 is one game I like this week.
From a DFS perspective, I find this card kind of strange as well. All right, Tom Brady, I guess it's kind of obvious. He's the guy. He's going to do it. He's going to throw for at least three touchdown passes, I would assume. But to New England, are they going to rack up a million points? Or are they going to be happy just to get out of there with a win? Carson Wentz, is this the weekend that they're actually flat and they don't, you know, they don't click so much? Seems to me, out of the big time guys, that Russell Wilson's sort of the most foolproof here, just because 71, they're so pass happy. The ball's just in his hands all the time. Out of the top tier quarterbacks, who do you like the most this week?
I agree with you. If you're going to pay up for the quarterback position, Russell Wilson is my guy. He just has such a perfect setup right now. They can't run the ball whatsoever. Their defense is ravaged by injuries, so they have to throw the ball more than typical Seattle teams. I think he's accounted for 22 of the team's 23 touchdowns this season, or 21 of 22. It's just something absurd. And he has healthy receivers to throw to. Paul Richardson's emerging. And Jimmy Graham's becoming that monster in the red zone that everyone thought he should have been all along. So it's just a perfect setup. He runs the ball. McKissick, you know, a real cheap DFS option if you're playing the later slate. He should be looking at 5 or 6 catches. The team just you cannot have a better setup for Russell Wilson. Defense injured, and they just cannot run the ball. So I'm with you. If you're going to pay up for the quarterback position, give me Wilson.
I hate the running back position in DFS, man. It just, it perplexes me. And I don't, I'm just, I don't like this guy. Next. I'm like a picky dude or something, man. You know what I mean? I don't know. But it's like, I knew that Melvin Gordon was going to be a bust yesterday, too. It wasn't worth the money. I never trust running backs. I really don't. But you got the duo here. So you got Le'Veon Bell. But Le'Veon Bell's not part of the million maker. But, you know, for other options, I get it. Le'Veon Bell. You got the Saints guys. You've got Gurley. You know, you've got McCoy. Then, you get into Leonard Fournette. I go down the list, and I don't really want to spend the money for any of these guys. So I'm ending up going with Tevin Coleman. I'm going to bank on Devontae Freeman not playing, and I'm going to put Coleman in the lineup here. And I'm thinking outside the box with Tariq Cohen and what I think is going to be a blowout, and Philadelphia is up. And, you know, Trubisky's throwing the ball, man, like 30 times a game right now. And thanks, so we've just been confirmed Freeman's out even better. So I like Coleman to confirm now. But Trubisky's throwing the ball a little bit more now. They know that they need to get him ready for next year. They can't just, you know, all right, we're not making the playoffs. We're not going to win the games by you throwing the ball four times. So I don't mind some dink and dunks with Cohen, but you and Gary did running backs earlier in the week. Who do you like at the running back position?
I'm totally with you with Tevin Coleman. I mean, that price and him looking at, he had a tough matchup last week, but he's a great runner. And no Freeman, and it spreads, 9.5, 10 points. I just can't see Coleman not being 100% exposure in my lineups, given that that Freeman is out. I'm with you there totally. I want as much exposure also as I can in that Rams-Saints game. I mean, give me Gurley, or if you prefer Ingram or Kamara, that's fine.
Yeah.
The over-under is 53.5 points, by far the highest of the week.
So you're Saints okay with an DFS with one or the other. Don't kill yourself. Do I take Ingram or Kamara? You're fine with either one.
Yeah, I've just been letting the price dictate that, and Kamara is typically a few hundred cheaper. So I've been going, but I mean Ingram, it's hard to argue with his production too. Crazy, never seen anything like this. Two running backs that are clear top five fantasy options on the same team every week, and that defense. You know, they lost Alex Okafor on the edge. Lattimore may not play in this game, so I really like coming back with Cooper Kupp. I mean, no Robert Woods, maybe Sammy Watkins too, but he's just so unreliable.
I wanted to ask you about Sammy. And listen, we got to get out of here, unfortunately, Dalton already, but. Yeah, so Cooper Kupp, obviously, he's going to be a target machine. Sammy Watkins used to complain in Buffalo. He's complained even though they're winning with the Rams this year. Now Woods isn't there. This is it. Lattimore's going to be out. I don't know if Warmy can confirm that, but Lattimore's in a boot. He's not going to be playing. This is it for Watkins right now. He's got to step up. I'm looking for a 6-7 catch and a touchdown or two, big performance. Not just a touchdown and two catches type of deal, Dalton.
Yeah, the weather should be right, and this should be a total shootout back and forth. So I want exposure to as many players as I can in this game. And I might even roll with Kupp and Watkins. They're both cheap. You could probably fit both in your lineup, and they're going to have to throw the ball a lot. So I definitely like the setup for Watkins. But he better do it now. You're right. I mean, if he doesn't take advantage of this opportunity, it's officially time to really start worrying.
Yeah. Hey, Dalton, I wish we had more time. It's always a pleasure. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Best of luck this weekend in fantasy and in the contest. Thanks for the time, bro.
Sure, thanks. Same to you, Gabe.
There's Dalton Deldon. We'll take a quick break. Joe Lisi. We're going to talk some college football with Joe Lisi.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game time decision on Fantasy Sports Network continues. Man, this show is really just flying by. I'm not saying it's our best work, but it's flying by. And we're trying to give you as many picks as possible. We get sidetracked with bad jokes all the time. So no jokes. Let's bring in Joe Lisi right now. Go for the 2.com. I'll be joining Joe tomorrow morning. I join at 10:39. That's good. 7 a.m. doesn't work for me, but 10:39 does. Joe Lisi. What up, Joe?
This is what it's all about. A Friday after Thanksgiving, watching these college games play out, Gabe, nothing better.
Yeah, you know what? My bets aren't going great here, man. I could use some points in some games. I'm doing all right in others. It's one of those type of deals. I really need the over in this Western Michigan-Toledo game. It's not happening. They seem to be stuck on 44, but let's get down to business, Joe. I'm going to rattle off here. We got 8 games, and we got about 8 minutes or a little bit more, so a minute a game here. Big battle in Orlando in a little less than an hour here. South Florida and Central Florida. We got a 1-loss team versus the 10-0 Knights. Home team, 9.5-point favorites. Who you got?
Yeah, I like USF here because of the mobility of Quentin Flowers, their quarterback, and more importantly, South Florida's defense, their ability to force turnovers in a rivalry game such as this. I'll take the better quarterback, in my opinion. I believe it's Quentin Flowers over Mackenzie Milton, and I think USF gets the outright win here.
Ooh, I like where you're going with this. We're on the same side, Joe. I'm taking the +9.5 in a high-scoring game. I like the over. Virginia Tech and Virginia. We had Steve Merrill on earlier in the show. He's in Virginia. Says the buzz in the state is people are saying they think the Cavaliers can win this game outright. He says that he thinks it's a little premature, and now that there's probably some value, people are underestimating the Hokies in this football game. I like the Cavaliers plus the points. I think Mendall's done a great job this year. Who do you like?
Yeah, I mean, history is not on the Cavs' side. Virginia Tech has won 13 straight, so I like Virginia Tech here. We were on Virginia last week. They didn't disappoint, but I think this is a bad spot for the Cavs. Like the Virginia Tech front seven that's holding opposing offenses to 122 rushing yards on the ground, I think that's the difference. Vatek wins this ballgame by 10 to 13 points.
Georgia and Georgia Tech. Georgia laying 11.5 at Ja Tech.
Yeah, I like Georgia here. The way you have to stop the triple option is big defensive tackles that could disrupt timing of the zone blocking of the triple option. That's what Georgia has. I think the offensive line that's averaging right around 262 rushing yards per game could wear down Georgia Tech's defense. And I think Georgia wins a convincing ball game, anywhere from 17 to 20 points. They're not looking ahead. They go to the SEC championship game with a lot of momentum over their arch rival.
Well, you know, I'm going to be fired up in the morning tomorrow morning. They call it the game. And it's a pretty big one, but not as big as it could be. You know, and let's be real. I mean, Michigan deserves a lot of the blame for the game losing some of its luster over the years. But nevertheless, you know, the cliche is true. If Michigan wins this game, you know, the season is a success. It is as simple as that. They're getting 12 points. I don't know about Brandon Peters. I mean, he's in the concussion protocol. Harbaugh's not saying anything. They're not going to let anybody know about this. I think he's going to play, Joe. I get the feeling that Brandon Peters is going to play. What's your take?
Yeah, I like Michigan here. I think they have the best defense in this match. Michigan does have the number one ranked third down defense.
Hold on, Joe. It's cutting a little in and out the audio. Is that just me or is it for everyone? It's for everyone. All right. Yeah, we're gonna call you right back, Joe. So, yeah, Ohio State and Michigan. This is it's one of these rivalries, man. You throw the record, throw the records out in a game like this. Ohio State are a better football team than Michigan are, but Ohio State are an overrated football team. If you notice Ohio State, they'll kick the crap out of bad teams, then they lay an egg, and then, you know, they beat a couple of bad teams, and everyone thinks they're great. It's a rivalry game. The quarterback situation is a real concern, though, if you're taking Michigan. I don't like criticizing college kids, but John O'Korn just can't move the ball for the Wolverines. So, and Peters is injured, but I'm still liking the Wolverines plus the double-digit points. I think we got Joe back. Joe, you were cutting out there, but it sounds like you like the Wolverines here, too.
Yeah, I'm with you. Michigan has the number one ranked third down defense in college football, holding opposing offenses to 24%, and they're only giving up 144 passing yards per game over the last four games. It's only been 119 passing yards per game. I know they have quarterback concerns, but I think they force Ohio State into a low-scoring ballgame and get the outright victory 17-13 over the Buckeyes.
All right, a game that nobody's going to talk about, but I will, the Fremont Cannon, the Battle of Nevada. UNLV at Nevada. Monster football game for the UNLV Running Rebel program with 5 wins right now. Dramatic comeback last Friday night against Sheriff Lobo and Bob Davey. Now they get a Wolfpack team that's had a disappointing season, but Nevada would like nothing better than to screw over UNLV and keep them out of a bowl game. And UNLV, what better way to punch a ticket into a bowl, and it's a big deal for UNLV to go to a bowl, than to do it in Reno, Nevada. I like UNLV to get it done. Armani Rogers, he's going to lead in the victory in this football game. Give me UNLV to win outright.
I'm with you, Gabe. I think they win this ball game from 17 to 20 points. Armani Rogers, 211 passing yards last week, 195 on the ground. He's the more athletic quarterback that'll put pressure on Nevada's defense. I think UNLV dominates this matchup and becomes bowl eligible with a win.
Yeah, I think there'll be some points in this game. Nevada can't stop anybody, and they can score. And I tell you what, UNLV have some real nice skill position players right now. This Rogers kid could have went to some, you know, some real schools, so to speak, some better football programs, but he decided to go to Vegas. The Iron Bowl, I don't know, man. Everybody in the media and the mainstream media are all talking about Alabama sucks suddenly, and they're all talking about how Auburn's going to win this game. But I'll tell you what, the betting market disagrees because Alabama were 3-point favorites. It's up to 4.5. There's some fives popping up right now. I think Alabama win the game. Who do you like?
Yeah, I'm with the public here. I like Auburn. I mean, Alabama's dominated the matchup, won the last three by 15 points per game. But over the last two games against SEC opponents, LSU and Mississippi State, Alabama 8 of 24 on third down conversions, 33%, and more importantly, not running the football the way they have at the early part of the year. I'll take the points with the home dog in Auburn. I think they strike the upset 23-20 over the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Miami Hurricanes are down 10 last time we checked as of a couple of minutes ago. Everyone's talking about that big Miami and Clemson game. I think this is a big, big trap for the Clemson Tigers. I don't think Clemson are that great. I think they're good, but they're not great. And there's no way they should be laying 13.5 points against a rock-solid team like the South Carolina Gamecocks, who like nothing better than to beat the Tigers in this spot. Give me the home dog, man. Give me the home dog plus 13.5.
Yeah, I'm going against you here, Gabe. I really like Clemson in this matchup. I think their offensive ability to stretch South Carolina's defense that's given up 222 passing yards is the difference. When you look at South Carolina since that loss to Texas A&M, they played teams like Florida, Georgia. They played Vanderbilt, teams that can't stretch that defense vertically. To me, that's the difference. Clemson has the playmakers to do it. I think they win this ball game by 21 points or more, but it is a very tight game in the first half.
Oh, that's pretty bold, man. I think this is going to be a dogfight, and Clemson's going to be lucky to get out of here with a win. I really do. I've been wrong, though, a lot. So it's not like I've never been wrong, Joe. All right, we've got 40 seconds. Notre Dame and Stanford. Dalton Deldon just joined me from the Bay Area, Yahoo Sports Fantasy guy. He's going to the football game. He goes, Gabe, I don't watch a lot of college football. I'm going to bet whatever you tell me to bet. I told him to bet on Stanford.
I'm with you, Gabe. They're the more blue-collar team, if Bryce Love plays, and I think he will, I think they could stretch not only Notre Dame's defense on the ground, but through the air. And I like Stanford to pick up a 13-point home win over Notre Dame in Palo Alto.
Joe, it doesn't get any better than tomorrow morning. I'm really looking forward to the show. Rivalry week, rivalry day. It's going to be awesome. 9 o'clock. Check it out, guys. Dish Network, Channel 262, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Television Network. 9 to 12, Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello breaking it all down with great guests, coaches, players. And I join in at 10:39 a.m. and 11:39 a.m. with my best bet. See you in the morning, Joe.
Can't wait, Gabe. Love the show.
There's Joe Lisi with us. Take a quick break. We'll come back with our plays of the day as well as our millionaire maker lineup.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
All right, it's time for our Millionaire Maker lineup. You know what? The last two lineups that we did last week, we made some money. We gave you a Thanksgiving lineup. We doubled our money with that. We won a bunch of head-to-head matchups. We're starting to get in a little bit of a groove right now. Let's try to keep it going. You know, this week I found it a little bit strange. I was going to go back to the well. I think we overthink things. All right, Tom Brady, yes. I came really close to playing Marcus Mariota. All right, I think Marcus Mariota is going to have a big game this week against the Indianapolis Colts. But, you know, what's the biggest sure shot thing here? The Patriots might blow the Dolphins out, and they don't want to get Brady hurt. Maybe they just run the ball. You know, you go down the list of big-time quarterbacks, and who did I trust the most? Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, the Seattle Seahawks throw the football 71% of the time. 71% of the time. They don't have anyone to hand the ball off to. I know everyone's talking about, McKissick this week. Whatever, dude. McKissick might make a couple of plays. You know, Russell Wilson runs the ball. He throws the ball. He is the Seattle offense. I can't pass up that type of usage at 71%. He's just the most reliable. This one's good because I was rolling the dice when I put this lineup together that Devontae Freeman would be out, and it's now official. Devontae Freeman is going to be out. I think Tevin Coleman really comes into play here at $6,500 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in a football game in which I think there could be quite a few points put up on the board in. All right, this one I'm thinking outside the box, and I think I'm going to be in the minority here, but don't worry, guys, because after this next player, the lineup is freaking stacked. We're going with Tariq Cohen here. Why? Because Trubisky's actually starting to throw the football right now. You know, I think he's thrown the ball 30 times in the last three games, each game. They know that they have to get him ready for next year, and he's not going to get ready for next year if they just baby him all the time. So they're starting to let him throw the football a little bit. Not to mention, they're playing the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles are 13.5-point favorites, all right? What's going to happen in this game? The Eagles are going to be up 21-0. Trubisky's going to be doing his little dinking, dunking, and to Tariq Cohen. I think Jordan Howard sort of gets taken out of the game a little bit more because the Eagles will be up. You know, at $3,800, man, I think it's worth a shot. And because of him, I don't like all these other running backs, all right? I think they're all risks. I get it, the Saints guys and Gurley and Fournette. All right, spend all that money on them. I'm gonna swing for the fences with the wide receivers. Give me A.J. Green. A.J. Green owns the Cleveland Browns. Andy Dalton's a clown, but all he's got to do is connect with A.J. deep a couple of times, and he will do it. Cleveland aren't going to be able to stop him. They've got nobody able to stop him. Give me Julio Jones. Tampa Bay, their defense is shredded. They're beaten down. You know, Grimes isn't bad, but Julio Jones is a beast. People are kind of down on Julio Jones as well as far as his fantasy production is concerned. Listen, they're trying to win games and they're spreading it out a little bit, but you know Julio Jones is going to get into the end zone. He's going to give us 7 or 8 catches. Give me Julio Jones. Rolling the dice on Sammy Watkins. We've rolled the dice on him twice this year. We got screwed both times. Robert Woods isn't there. Cooper Kupp can't catch every damn ball. Lattimore is injured. I think there's going to be some points put up on the board in this game. You know, I don't want just a touchdown, though, Sammy. Give me 6-7 catches and a touchdown. Give us 2 touchdowns, bro. And don't forget, you're a free agent, man. You know, this is on you. I think Sammy Watkins is going to be Houston Texan next year, but we'll see what happens there. All right, we're going with Mercedes Lewis. Mercedes Lewis, dude is really cheap, man. All right, he's really cheap. And he scored touchdowns in 2 of the last 3 games. I think he might have touchdowns in 3 of the last 4 games. At this type of price, all he needs to do is catch a couple of passes. And Arizona aren't very good against tight ends either. They have great cornerbacks, but over in the middle of the field, they're kind of vulnerable. Don't be shocked if Lewis scores another touchdown. I'm going to put Dougie Baldwin in here with Russell Wilson, get a little stack going. But Baldwin's going to be able to do whatever the hell he wants to do in this game. And the Jets defense, I'm rolling the dice at the Cam Newton's, the bad Cam that shows up. We're going to win some money with this in head-to-head for sure. All right, plays of the day. Give me South Florida. This game's at 3:30 Eastern this afternoon. South Florida plus 9.5. Let's go over the 64 in this football game. Let's go Nebraska plus the 4.5. It was probably Coach Riley's last game as coach of the Huskers. Western Kentucky and FIU. Like, give me FIU plus the 3 points. Virginia Tech and Virginia. We got a pattern here. Give me the underdog. Give me the Virginia Cavaliers. We've got Cal and UCLA on the board. UCLA just fired their coach. I don't even think they want to go to the bowl. Cal's going to probably win this game outright, let alone on the 7. Give me the 7 points. The only favorite I like, I think Texas, roll Texas Tech. I think it's a high-scoring game. NBA basketball, give me the Toronto Raptors. There's a million college basketball games going on. Follow me on Twitter, @SportsRage. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.